Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as MobiusStripPress.com. Those are the two sites. You've got my contact information, and I know I've got it somewhere, but I might as well say it now. I know I need to get these bullets up, and I need to get this the graphic depiction of Republic Review as it fits into the constructs of Congress and the Constitution and so forth, and so I need to get that done. Another reason why I need to fire my IT guy. That being said, feel free to call in. The phone lines are open and engaged. And so I only ask that you abide by those three C's. If you know me, be confidential. I go by GR, and be civil and be concise. Let me point out the importance, again, of my presentation on Reclaiming the Republic on YouTube. You can find the link on reclaimingtherepublic.org on the Take Action page. But the first 30 minutes of this video on YouTube is an academic argument on what our problem is and what our only solution to fixing that problem would be. If you have a mailing list, if you have a group of patriots, a neighborhood block party, what have you, your home brew is just come to fruition, you need a good reason to have a party, there you go. There's 30 minutes of pure, unadulterated entertainment that you should be able to enjoy and be gripped with all sorts of thrills and excitement and okay, I'm embellishing a little bit, but if you want to understand and learn, you know, how bad it is and how simple the solution is, just take 30 minutes and watch that. Watch that with your friends, forward it, something like this, until somebody can call in and say, hey, this is bogus. There's no way you can do that. That can't work, which... I'd invite somebody to be able to do that, because then I can find time to do lots of other things that my wife would love me to be doing and that I would enjoy doing myself anyway. So by all means, give me a call and pop my bubble. Religious freedom is the conversation that I'm not trying to bait anybody. I just want to have this conversation. It's one of those things that there's plenty of empirical information, data, and so forth out there regarding this. But what this has transformed and morphed into is something out of context of the Constitution. And so I ask people to call in, do you believe the Constitution protects religious freedom? And so by doing so, I will reward you with a set of my books and signed copies. And that way, you know, you don't take a lashing. I'm not even going to give you a lashing. It is one of those things that we need to really look at from the different perspectives of the time as to what they put in place and how we perceive what they put in place today. Because that's the whole thing. It's what we see today, what we perceive that they put in place today is not necessarily the truth. Anyway, as I look out my window and I look east, yeah, that's where DC is, and I see no sign. And as I look over at the news media, I don't see any news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. I am surprised. I thought by today it would happen, but apparently not. Bullets and graphics, like I said, those are supposed to get up. I'm firing that IT guy, and so... I'm not sure what kind of motivation you need, but there will never be a sign that they will dismantle that government and that Leviathan and their tyranny by themselves. They are under the complete belief that they have every right, power, and responsibility to oppress you. And so One of the things in the news that I kind of want to expound on, and it might consume more of the show than I probably care to, but I think it's important, and this particular justice just infuriates me because they have no clue about the Constitution. They only cling to very specific, they cherry pick the very few specific things that they want to cling to, and they even take those things out of context, and they extend their arm of jurisdiction well beyond that of the Constitution. And so Ruth Bader Ginsburg was happening to be the duty judge in swearing-in ceremony of a new batch of citizens. And as she spoke to them, outside of the context of swearing them in, she basically asked them to please make America better. And I'm going to tell you that what she's talking about has nothing to do with making America better by following the Constitution. She knows that the whole pool is polluted with democracy, mob rule. And she knows that by these new people that have come in, they don't understand our constitutional republic, and that they believe that they can vote away their liberties and vote away their rights regardless of a constitution and regardless of the republic and the republicanism that was set forth and instilled in this republic, that we the people, the majority, and there's all sorts of movements. I was asked a lot yesterday about the majority. I forget who I was talking to, but I was talking on the phone about somebody saying, you know, well, what do you think about, you know, this movement of trying to elect the president based on the majority populist vote instead of through the Electoral College? And I go, well, I can see them trying to actually have an election or referendum by majority to get that to happen. And then considering that they have now created a change to the Constitution without following the Constitution, because technically, and I've said this before, the Electoral College process that is in the 12th Amendment of the Constitution is not being followed. They're not following that. They have come up with new rules via regulation, via statute, instead of actually modifying the 12th Amendment into a separate amendment and dictating these new changes, because they understand the threshold of making an amendment requires 38 states, but if they can hoodwink you and convince you that you don't need to amend the Constitution anymore, they won't, and that's why they haven't been. And that's why they've been violating the Constitution. But I keep on going down into these little rat holes, and I apologize. So let me get back to this whole point of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in swearing in all of these new great citizens of this great republic. In contrast to what she had said, make America better, you know, use your democracy in doing this. And I'm paraphrasing, but I want to be clear. That was her intent. She is a person that believes in democracy and not in republicanism and in our hybrid constitutional republic. Her opinions clearly state that, and her rulings and her votes clearly state that. And that's why I want to go through the oath of a citizen. And so I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, and or sovereign of whom or which I have hereto been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, that I will perform, that I will perform work of national importance under civil direction when required by law, and that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. We'll be right back after word from our sponsors, but I'm going to clarify a lot of this so that you understand what we're beholding to as citizens, because this oath is implied. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Yes, and as I kind of quickly finished that, what I want to do is I want to highlight a few points for you. And so let's first understand this oath, because like I was saying going out, This oath just doesn't go to new citizens. It's just not enforced by the, in other words, a natural born citizen here is not required to take the oath because it is implied by birth. And so there is that implication that you are subjects to the sovereign governments, the states and so forth, which goes down this path of these myopic thinking people that, you know, we are sovereign citizens. Within our actual government, we are sovereign citizens, but we are also subject to certain sovereignties that we surrender to our state government, and the state governments are sovereign in all things other than those few things they delegated to the federal or general government. So let's be clear here. As a civil society moving forward, the empirical data clearly prove that we actually instilled and created a government. Now, there may have been a few outliers that said, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And back in those days, you could go live in the woods and be off the grid. There was no property tax and all of that. Unfortunately, the tide is coming that, you know, the possession of lands, deeds, and everything else are going to force you to either conform. And that's what civil societies do. They're, again, I pointed out that when Britain came here to create the colonies, they were subject to not just the laws of the king in Britain, but they were also following and subject to the laws of nations. And so when you look at the contrast of how different countries behaved under the laws of nations, such as Spain and Portugal, I mean, they were ruthless. And I would think that the American Indians, natives, what have you, that were in North America have to thank their lucky stars that it wasn't Portugal and Spain that settled here, because they probably would have done, far worse things than what had happened under the colonies and the British inhabitants as they declared independence and moving forward. It was not necessarily the most civil, because some of the things that were done by Andrew Jackson and others, I mean, was just atrocious. However, and I'm going down this rat hole, forgive me. The whole point here is that we have laws that we abide by, we live by those. And as a matter of fact, it was fighting words. And as a matter of fact, it was duel time if you impugned a person's character and their honor by not abiding by the laws and so forth. That's how the paradigm was back then. And so we are subjects to the greatest government on earth, which instilled sovereignty with its people. The sovereignty remained with the people, as well as sovereignty was granted as well to the states. All things not delegated were left to the states and the people, respectively. So anyway, so one difference that you have to do is you don't have to, as a naturalized citizen, is you don't have to renounce allegiance because you have none. You should have allegiance to the nation you reside. And that nation you reside in is what? Is Maryland, Pennsylvania, California. Remember, states are nations. And within the republic, there is also a citizenship that is also granted amongst the states, which is the United States citizen, which gives you the immunities and privileges that are guaranteed under the Constitution. And based on that 14th Amendment, what does that mean? That means that you have the right of assembly, you have the freedom of speech, religious expression, and being the right to bear arms is another individual privilege and immunity. And so states, based on the 14th Amendment, cannot pass laws that infringe upon those rights. No state, as a matter of fact, I'll get into it here, But the point is, the first thing that they really point out, other than we don't have to announce allegiance, is that all citizens, we must support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So you have to, folks, you really need to understand what that means, because there are lots of people violating that right now, because people are not following the Constitution and laws of the United States. See, it's not a law unless it is lawfully done. Unconstitutional or unlawful laws are things we're supposed to be fighting. The other key point is that it says this, I think, three or four times. Let me take a look at this. One, two, three times. So what it says here is the other, and this point is that when required by law was thrown in three times, what does that mean? And as I was just going down this path, a law is only law and lawful when the legislative body creating the law has authority and jurisdiction over the object or objects. In other words, arming and equipping the Navy, and arming and training and equipping militia. There is a law within the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 16, that the federal government is responsible for arming and equipping the militia. That is still a standing law. The fact that the federal government is no longer doing that, they're breaking the law. And as a matter of fact, the fact is, as they arm and equip with military resources, law enforcement, which is not the militia, civil, or I should say municipal law enforcement, sheriff's offices, and so forth, that is a violation of the Constitution, because it doesn't say sheriffs. Sheriffs existed back then. Police departments didn't. What was put in place was the militia. Now, if you want to change that and you want them to, you know, put military goods in the hands of your municipal law enforcement, then you have to amend the Constitution to do that. But they haven't done that, and they're not arming, equipping, and training the militia. So they're violating that. Another example would be drugs laws. Who has jurisdiction? Because they're making drug laws, but who has jurisdiction to make drug laws? Is the management regulation and or oversight of drugs, the manufacturing, selling, and enforcing of the laws, is that in the Constitution? Well, no, it's not. Then who has jurisdiction? The states. If it wasn't delegated, like I said, the states enjoy the full oversight and privilege and power over those things. Now, if the states want to create a national law that makes marijuana, heroin, and all these other really bad things illegal, then I'm all for that. But there's only two ways to do that. They either amend the Constitution or they create a, help me out here, a commission of the states that basically says, we all agree that these are going to be the, you know, bad drugs, and they're going to be illegal, and we're going to shut people down for trafficking and selling or what have you. Then that isn't even talking about the manufacturing of pharmaceutical drugs. Who has the oversight of that? It's still the states. And so this kind of points to the need for a commission of the states to be able to do that. Either that, or the states are going to have to amend the Constitution to grant that privilege to the federal government so that they have lawful jurisdiction. Does this make sense? I hope so. I have plenty of more, so we'll get into this a little bit more in detail when we come back from the break. So thank you so much, and I'll be right back. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so as I was talking about this jurisdiction and who has the jurisdiction to make drug laws, and we know that that's really been left to the states, for those friends who have been listening, you should understand the magnitude of this problem, because when you read that oath and you understand that they're saying these are lawful orders and so forth. If you look at all the laws and regulations, most all of them are unlawful because they are outside the jurisdiction of the Constitution. And so what we have to do is we have to purge the improper jurisdiction. That is because we're in a position now where bureaucrats can change these laws. They can change the meaning and effect. And next thing you know, people that wear red ball caps are considered, terrorists. It can literally flip that easy. Believe me, when the Homeland Security in 2009, 2010 basically said former veterans and former armed forces members are considered, you know, potential terrorists and they had to be monitored, that's a little scary. That's when the government recognizes those who might be loyal to that one specific thing that would hinder them from being able to pull really bad shenanigans, and that loyalty is to the Constitution and not to somebody that says, I'm in charge and I say so, because we are not subjects to kings. We are subjects to a Constitution, not a federal government. That federal government is also subject to the Constitution. So that's why it's really important that we understand this problem and the magnitude of it. Because when the absolute government that is subject to the Constitution is no longer, being subject and doing whatever they want, then we have to step in. For those new to the show, I hope you understand that the perverted system of unlawful laws can pull one into becoming a combatant or non-combatant in an unconstitutional and unlawful domestic war. Let's say the states start banning guns tomorrow, and they call all the citizens in that particular state to turn in their guns, or those who don't have guns turn in their fellow citizens who may have guns. Well, what they're doing is getting, this is an unlawful act, and these lawmakers in the state have no constitutional footing to do this. And so getting people to aid and abet in an unlawful act is literally tyranny at the worst level. And so we have to make sure we understand these things so that when lawmakers, like in Illinois, in a town banning a gun, try to do those things, then we call them out and say, hey, you can't do that. That violates the Constitution in two ways. And I've said this before. The first way is it violates the 14th Amendment. No state shall make or enforce any law which abridges the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States. That includes the entire Constitution and Bill of Rights and all ratified amendments. That's it. In addition, Article 1, Section 9, Subsection 3 states, and I've gone through this several times, I'm going to have to really pound on this because I don't hear anybody else pounding on it. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. You cannot pass a law making something illegal to possess when just before it was legal. You can pass a law that says we will no longer allow these to be sold and that anybody that obtains any beyond this date, that is an illegal weapon. So they can tell by the manufacturing, because they may still be legal and the manufacturer can provide the serial numbers, and that's all they need to do. They don't need you to register the gun. They just know that if they come along, they get your serial number and come to find out the manufacturer's report shows that that thing was manufactured after the law, then okay, that is an illegally possessed gun. But that's only, folks, if... This is how this applies. That's only if the 14th Amendment is amended to where they get rid of the no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. So that's that second part of Article 1, Section 9 with the ex post facto law. The only way they can get away with that, so they have to actually do two things. They actually have to do two things to make something that was once illegal or was once legal, now illegal. They actually have to amend the Constitution twice because the framers were pretty smart in understanding what types of laws could be easily passed by tyrants and changing what's legal and what isn't legal. So you cannot make something that was once legal all of a sudden illegal, which is the protection of the ex post facto law. More importantly, you have to have the sovereignty and or jurisdiction over that object. In other words, if you have the sovereignty and jurisdiction over drugs, then you can make laws over that and say you can't have those or you can't manufacture that. The official power, this is the definition of jurisdiction, it's the official power to make legal decisions and judgments. And so the Constitution has to give them that official power so that they can actually do that. Therefore, getting American citizens who are sworn to support and defend the Constitution, remember, you are sworn by birth. It is an implied oath at birth. Getting you to support and defend the Constitution, laws of the lands, or laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and getting you to go against those things would be basically violating your oath of citizenship. And those types of laws, when they get people to doing those things, tattletaling and all of that, and as a matter of fact, the Obama administration was doing that, getting people to tattletale, those are treasonous laws. And people need to start understanding and recognizing what treason really is. And it is not something that you literally take a jet and you start, dropping bombs on America. No, it's treason can be done far more subtly. And as we've been noticing with this deep state, there have been all sorts of treasonous acts that have been coming out of what some people, what the investigators, and what we have found between people communicating with their handheld devices and so forth. Anyway, friends, we are living in a time where it is very important to understand what is lawful and what is not lawful. That's why I want to go through this. I want you to understand that the governing agency that is creating the law, the legislative body that is doing that, they have to have the jurisdiction to be able to do that. We are obligated to be unsupportive to unlawful acts and laws than to participate in illegal pillaging. Because bottom line, if you are supporting a unlawful act and or law, then that's paramount to or tantamount to you actually participating in illegal pillaging and or illegal acts yourself, which makes you aiding and abetting in treason. So on a new topic, governments, and I truly believe this because this is in light of Facebook and a lot of other companies out there, because I really hate it when Congress oversteps their bounds and they call people in because we're the ape or the gorilla in the room and we can make you do anything you want. I don't believe that Congress has the power to dictate businesses, but they do have the power of taxation. And so they basically say, okay, Facebook, you want to be a biased and propaganda promoting company, then we're going to have a higher tax rate. Just like, what do you call that? Progressive taxes, where you make more money, they take more. Well, instead, you have a fundamental principle that we promote open, honest dialogue, no filtering, no propaganda. And if you do those things, then we have a very low minimum tax for you. But if you want to be a propaganda machine, then we are going to severely tax you, and you're not going to make a profit if you're lucky to make a profit. That way, it gets people to behave better. And they actually have the ability to do that because our founding principles should be encouraging open, honest, and free exchange of ideas, as well as, I believe, forums in mainstream media and so forth. And so, anyway, I'm up at a hard break, and I've got some more for you when we get back, because I want to talk about good monopolies and bad monopolies and bad oligarchies and so forth. So as soon as we get back, I'll get into such a thing as a good monopoly.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And is there such a thing as a good monopoly? If you've raised in the education system since the early 1900s, monopolies are evil. I can believe that a monopoly is evil when a monopoly is colluding with government. Then you have an evil monopoly. Because a good monopoly, there's such things as good monopolies, folks. And as a matter of fact, if you do the research on Alcoa in mining aluminum was actually a very good monopoly. It was a very profitable and a very conducive for the consumer. If you do the research, as most people, when they hear about this, they go, oh, let me check this out. Alcoa made it impossible for any competitor to enter into the marketplace because every time they innovated something, they would, you know, if they were saving price on their processing, saving price on their mining or what have you, whenever they made a leap forward in innovations where they could make more money, they lowered their product cost. And so what ended up happening was all these other companies had no way to compete with what Alcoa was doing. And so it actually, the government forced Alcoa to raise their prices. Get this? The customers had to pay more money because Alcoa was constantly beating out competition in the price range on the consumer end. In other words, it was too good. And that wasn't right. And government stepped in and forced Alcoa to raise its prices so other companies could come in and start innovating and get, you know, into their investments and so forth. And they polluted the entire aluminum mining industry and manufacturing. I can give you some monopolies with government collusion that are bad. Mainstream media, that is definitely a monopoly in thought. I mean, I don't know who the hierarchies are, but they all seem to be following, and it's been proven. Is it Media Matters or I forget. There's a gentleman that actually has an organization that goes through, and he proves that they run with the exact same story that is coming from the AP and what have you. There may not be hard physical ties between all these media companies, but there seems to be a monopoly in the narrative. Another bad monopoly is education. The government actually controls that, and that's bad because beforehand, who owned education? Well, it was all independent. It was either ran by churches or it was ran by local communities or what have you. And somehow we allowed the government to ruin it. Social media is mostly bad. And to be honest, a mainstream media is mostly bad. There might be a good outlier here and there that's competing, you know, One News Now or what have you, or whatever. But most of it, where the bulk of the people are just being indoctrinated into the narrative, that's how everybody, when they hear the word conspiracy, everybody's all programmed to that word, and the media has done that. It's the same thing with the music industry or entertainment industry. Bottom line, monopolies are actually good as long as government has nothing to do with it, because if you can maintain a monopoly and keep the prices down for the consumer so that somebody else can't come in and beat you at that price because you're too low, then how is that a bad monopoly? Thank you. We must stop allowing money on a different topic. We got to stop allowing money to enter into campaigns and coffers from people, entities, or PACs where the money does not come from the district of the race. In other words, if you're a county commissioner, you should only be receiving money that is coming from people, businesses, and what have you within the boundaries of the district of the race that you're running. In other words, money can't come in from a neighboring district or what have you. That money has to be proven to be earned and received and passed on to you from that business, you know, from that district. By doing this, this keeps all sorts of nefarious entities from being able to do what they've been doing, like trying to take that one race in Georgia where they pumped $30 million into that one house race and raised the bar on the cost of a house race. Too often we allow businesses to buy political outcomes for very specific advantages that benefit them. State legislators need to pass laws to keep this type of thing from happening, and it'll keep unions from moving money across state lines to persuade elections and to get union shops set up there. The same as corporations, though. If Boeing has no footprint in Wyoming, then they should not be able to contribute a dime in any form or fashion to any election within Wyoming. If Walmart is in a county, but it's not in the district of the commissioner's race, giving you this a breakdown here, then they should not be allowed to contribute a penny in any way or form to that district county commissioner's race. That's it. It's that simple. The money that comes into any race and the candidates, PACs or what have you, have to be limited to the money that is within those districts. You want to get money out of politics? That's the only way to do it. And make sure that there's a proven process to ensure that that money was raised. So like, let's say there is a Walmart. Let's say there's a Walmart in a given county or what have you. Then they happen to be in the district for the county sheriff, and of course, and some other county positions. Well, Walmart can contribute, but that Walmart would have to prove that the money that was contributed were via revenues that were made from that store and did not get filtered down from corporate headquarters. In other words, they have to show their financial records that show that they withheld profits from going up, that they were given the latitude to pay outward and doing that those types of contributions. And so that way, it makes it a heavy burden for big corporations to be able to do it. It's very simple for the ma and pa and you and I to be able to contribute. But when you're a big, huge corporation like Walmart with very tight processes and so forth, it will force them to either step out or they're going to have to change the way they are functioning because they funnel money down. Most of these companies funnel money down. It sounds like funny money, but they funnel money down. I wanted to keep on doing it. I apologize. What they're doing is they're funneling money into these districts and into these races, trying to buy outcome that would benefit them. And we've got to stop that. I've been telling you this time and time again, that if they're not supporting individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and they're only supporting rulings, policies, and things that support them in business, then we shouldn't have any of it. This is what is happening nationwide, this funneling money around, and this is why we need your help. We have to get this going, and we got to get this stopped everywhere. And we, as constitutional conservative people who live in blue states, need to focus our efforts, because I happen to live in a blue state, on the very red states, because these are the states where we can make a difference in helping constitutional candidates win. I believe the citizens of that state would be grateful in getting help in removing establishment Republicans and helping the ones who are going to defend the Constitution, push for the audit, and push for Republic review. I even believe most, if not all, of the party in these states are far more loyal to the Constitution than the party. I've met them. They don't like the establishment. They don't like what was going on back in D.C., and they definitely don't like the rhinos. I believe the citizens of that state would be very welcoming to all of the help that they can get. And I also look at how the GOP is trying to hold strings onto these states and trying to dictate, but it's not supposed to work that way. This is why I need your help. And every conservative who wants to save our Constitution needs to contribute to these constitutional campaigns as they start moving forward. I believe we can learn from Bernie Sanders' playbook by having, you know, all sorts of people send $5, $10, $20, $50, whatever you can afford, send these off to these people that we're going to highlight. These are constitutional candidates. This governor, these legislators, we need to support them. And it doesn't take a lot of money. As a matter of fact, I hope to have Focus, this website, set up so that we can actually, when that individual race gets the money that they need to help, you know, get the advertising and coverage they need, then we can change the colors from red, orange, or red, yellow, and then green so that they've got the money they need. So start contributing to a different race. That way, let's say you got $20, span it across three, you know, share the love with the three that need it. And that way we can actually help elevate these guys in these races. And I can honestly tell you that the people in Wyoming and the Dakotas and so forth would be very grateful to getting good constitutional leaders, because they are very tired of the federal tyranny they are living in. The Western lands are really hard affected, and they're very motivated in getting the federal jackbooted thugs off their neck. And so with that, as I hear the music, I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. I can't do it without you. So please join me tomorrow as we continue talking about this very important subject. God bless.